So today's readings are all about anger and forgiveness. And we hear some hard, difficult words from God, Jesus Christ, at the end there, where he just told a story about this wicked servant who's thrown in jail forever. And then he says to all the disciples, and to the apostles, and to us, "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." I don't know about you, but those are some scary words. Christ is telling us that our level of forgiveness affects our ability to go to heaven, which is where I would like to go, or hell. That's a frightening reality. And I think so often in our culture, we've at times diminished the reality there is a heaven or a hell. We often think, well, I'm kind of doing okay. I'm kind of coasting through life. I don't do anything too crazy. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't maybe committed adultery. I haven't done this or that. I haven't done any big sins. So I should be okay. But Christ reminds us that even if we don't forgive others, we might be giving up our salvation. And it is difficult to forgive. We know this, that when we are angry, when we are hurt, when somebody has betrayed us, it is so difficult to forgive. And when I talk to people, this comes up all the time, the places we've been wounded. And the reason it's so difficult to forgive is because somebody created a wound inside of us and we want them to heal it, but they can't. It is not possible for the person who hurt you to then heal it. It's just not going to happen. Only Christ can heal a broken heart. And when I often challenge myself and challenge other people that we have to be radically forgiving, we often think or we often say, well, I'm no Mother Teresa. I know Jesus. Yeah, okay, yeah, Jesus hung on the cross. He forgives everybody, but that's not me. I'm not perfect. True. You aren't Mother Teresa. You aren't Jesus. But you're supposed to be. That's the reality of Christianity, is we are called to become like the great saints. We are called to be like Jesus Christ. But it's not easy. It does hinder all the time because we are so broken. And so how does this work? If our salvation is dependent on our level of forgiveness, how do we reconcile all the brokenness inside of our heart? And in fact, just a couple months ago, I gave a talk here at the parish on forgiveness. And I shared a story from just last year when I was called in to go to the hospital to anoint somebody who was dying. And the man had found out that day that he had stage 4 terminal cancer. And I got a phone call from his daughter asking me to come there because her dad had a list of people who could or could not come and see him at the hospital. He had 3 kids, 2 girls and a boy. Well, they were older, so 2 women and a gentleman. And he said, "My daughters can visit me, but not my son. No way. He cannot come and see me at the hospital. I don't want to see him ever again." And so she tells me this on the phone and says, "Can you come visit him?" And I've been a priest for, I don't know, a month. Yeah, sure. I'm sure I'll have something to say. So I get in the car and I'm praying my rosary. I'm like, "Lord, you have to show up." And the reason the Lord has to show up is because if this man is harboring so much anger, if this man has so much hurt in his life, the Lord has to show up because I am just a person and I can't break open anyone's heart. Which is very important to recognize. I can't move somebody's heart. And neither can you. And so I get there. And I said, "How are you doing, sir?" He said, "I'm doing great. Doing good." I looked at him, confused. I said, "You're doing good?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm feeling great." I said, "Didn't you just find out you have stage 4 cancer? He goes, yeah, but I'm doing good. I said, what are you talking about? I said, aren't you afraid to die? And he goes, no, I can't wait to leave this wretched world anyways. I said, what? He said, yeah, I can't wait to leave. This place is terrible. It's wretched. And I said, it's not that bad. There are some good things in the world. That's kind of a sad point of view. And he goes, well, why don't you get in your car tonight and drive to the south side of Chicago at 1 a.m.? I said, I'm probably not going to do that. But it's not that bad. The world is not just full of terribleness. There's some good things. I said, well, tell me about yourself. When was the happiest time of your life? And he says, when I was in seminary for a year. This man was in his 70s, had not been to church in 40 plus years, he told me. I said, okay, the best year of your life was when you were in seminary. He says, yeah. I said, okay, what was so good about that? He said, I don't know, maybe I just felt so much peace. The happiest year of his life was when he was 23. Now, if that was the greatest moment of his life, when he felt peace, that implies that the last 50 years have been the opposite of peace. Turmoil. And so I started talking to him. He brought up his family and the fact that he wouldn't let his son come there. And so after he told me he had this list of people who could or could not come, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me that he needed the hard gospel. But yeah, some people need the gospel of the rainbows and the butterflies and the great parts that are very pithy and enlivening. But this man had a hardened heart. And the Lord was telling me he needed the hard gospel. Sometimes a hardened heart needs a hard gospel. And so I read for him this passage. I read for him this passage about a man being forgiven, and then after he's forgiven, chokeholding somebody else and saying, give me all my money. And then the Lord saying that that wicked servant's thrown in jail forever. And after I read it to him, I said, sir, that's the gospel. That's what the Lord tells us, that if we don't forgive others, that he can't forgive us. I said, sir, imagine it this way. There is a part of your heart, there is a door in your heart that is labeled forgiveness and mercy. And right now it's closed. And it's locked. Because you're not forgiving your son. I said, and since the door is closed and you're not giving forgiveness, well, God, he can't force his way in. Love is never forced. Mercy is never forced. God is a gentleman. And so since the door is closed, he can't get in. And the only way God can forgive you so you can die in peace and go to heaven is if you open the door of your heart, which you have the key for, then you forgive your son. And when the door is open and you're giving out forgiveness, wow, then it's open. God can get in there. And he can forgive you, give you love and mercy and forgiveness. Then he can heal you. But until that happens, door closed. God can't force his way in. I said, sir, you have to realize that this ability to forgive your son depends on your salvation and his. So he said, no, I'm not going to forgive him. I said, okay, well, I'm going to keep coming back here, I guess once a week. And I'm only coming for four reasons. So here's the four reasons. I said, for you to forgive your son, for you to go to confession, for me to give you the Eucharist, to anoint you, and then you can die. So that's it. It'll be 5 months, four things. Forgive him, get forgiven, receive Jesus, be anointed, and that's it. No small talk. Not here for coffee time. I'm here to talk about life. So I would come back every week, and each week he would be angry and hard in heart, and he's a very stubborn man. And I would pray for him every single week. And eventually I came in, and he had told me that he'd allowed his son to come and see him. I said, awesome, praise God. Step one, down. I said, great. Now, since you've let your son come and see you, will you now go to confession? He goes, no. I said, what? said, why would you not go? Because I can't. I said, why? He thought for a second. He said, no. So I said a little prayer over him, and I said, Lord, whatever is hindering this man's heart, I need you to open it up and to let him know what's hindering him from going to confession and receiving God's mercy and love. And we said, amen. And then I put a little container with Jesus, the Eucharist inside of it, and I put it in his hand. Because at this point, he was very weak. He was had lost a ton of weight. He was blind. He couldn't see anymore. The cancer had really taken over, and his skin was hanging because he had lost so much weight. And I put the Eucharist in his hand, and I said, do you feel what's in your hand? He said, yes. I said, that's a pyx, and Christ is inside there. And you believe he's truly there, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, he wants to go inside of your body, but he can't go in unless you ask for forgiveness. Can't force his way in. He just wants to go inside. So you need to go to confession. And he goes, I don't know. I said, why? Why? What's holding you back? He thought for a second and he said, pride. I'm prideful. That's why. I said, okay. We're going to pray for that pride to go away and melt away right now. And I took the pyx and I put it on his chest, right near his heart. I said, do you feel the pyx, the container, on your heart? He says, yeah. I said, okay, Jesus is there. And he wants to go just 2 more inches inside of your body. But he can't go in unless you go to confession and ask for forgiveness. He goes, I don't know. I said, can I just put my stole on? My little purple thing, can I put that on? He says, okay. I said, okay, and can I just... You don't have to say anything. How about I'll just ask you questions? Just yes or no. Can we do that? He says, I guess so. So I don't want to trick him. I said, when was your last confession? I asked him a bunch of questions. I forgave his sins. I gave him the Eucharist. I anointed him. I said, sir, do you realize that you finally did it? You opened your heart. You forgave your son and you received forgiveness. And now you've been forgiven. Your soul is perfect after 40 years. And you've Jesus Christ literally living inside of your body. You've been anointed. And now you don't have to be scared anymore. You can die. You don't have to be afraid. Because for months he was. I said, you've been afraid for months because you had all this brokenness. You had this hardened heart. You hadn't forgiven. And you just were built up with all this anger. And so you were afraid to die because, yes, with all that anger, you couldn't enter heaven. But now you've been forgiven. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is that good. And he says, are you sure I'm forgiven? I said, yeah. That's the power of God. And so literally right there, I was so excited that I started singing hallelujah in his room. I left that day and he died 2 days later. And what we have to recognize with that is that with any brokenness, any anger in our heart is always a result of sin. Whether it's somebody sinning against us or us sinning against another person, that's why we can't forgive, because we've been sinned against and we feel that pain. We want justice. And so we have to recognize that forgiveness is not dependent upon the person who has hurt us, but upon our own brokenness. And so the only way we can radically forgive others is if we bring it to prayer. Because the person who hurt you cannot heal you. Time cannot heal you. Time does not heal all things. Only Christ does. And so when I met with him, essentially we were just praying. What's the brokenness? What's the issue? Where is God? And so we have to bump up the prayer life, because if this woundedness, this unforgiveness is sin, we have to recognize that serious sin, which is what a wound is, and serious prayer will never coexist. One will drive out the other. If I'm harboring this anger, this sin, this unforgiveness, I will drive out my prayer life, be very minimal. But if I deepen my prayer life and fall deeply in love with the Lord and let Him heal me, then that will drive out the brokenness and the unforgiveness. So serious prayer and serious pain, serious sin, will never coexist. One will drive out the other. So the question for us is, which one will be driven out? Because the wicked servant did not enter in a serious prayer. And so let us not be afraid to recognize that this ability to forgive is at the root of our salvation. So we are about to receive Jesus Christ incarnate in our very bodies. Let us bump up our prayer life and drive out that serious sin, that serious brokenness, that serious unforgiveness. Let Him heal hearts, and then let us be another Mother Teresa. Let us be another John Paul II. Let us be Jesus Christ going out to the world and forgiving those who have harmed us, and letting our now healed hearts also heal even the hearts of those who have harmed us. This serious prayer will drive out the serious brokenness.